All right, let's open our Bibles today to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. What we're going to be looking at today, the third installment of The Call, Finding God's Purpose for Your Life. Now, we're not here by chance. God has put us here for a reason, and it's up to us to tap into that, and once you do, you're going to find some, you know, great and exciting things start to really happen in your life. I know ever since the day, or even as a young boy, I knew that God had a plan for my life. But sometimes as you go through life, you know, I don't know about you, but I've had this feeling that sometimes I think, you know, God's working against me. You know, because I thought I knew what he wanted, and then I stepped out and was going that way, and then just things didn't work out. And, you know, sometimes when things don't work out, you know, we look for somebody to blame, and, you know, Lord knows it's not us, right? It must be God, right? That's how we think, but it's not usually the case, is it? You know, as we investigate a little bit more, we find something different. And we blame God because he's in control, but I think sometimes we have a misconception that we think when we're stepping into God's perfect will that you're never going to have another problem. And I hope I never give that, you know, insinuation to somebody that in your journey and in the center of God's will that there won't be attacks, because there will. And they do come against us. And what happens then is what I've noticed with a lot of people, because I try to pay attention much as I can. And what will happen when they hit some resistance, and they know they heard from God somewhat, they know they're heading to where God wants them, but then when they hit resistance, they pull back because they're not ready for the chaos and the attack. And then they come back and they say, I say, well, how's it going? What are you involved in? What are you doing? They say, oh, I'm waiting on God. You know, waiting on God. You ever heard that one? Maybe we've said it ourselves. No, I don't deny the fact there's a waiting on God time. But what I found out in my life that usually when I'm waiting on God is God is waiting on me. Because I took a detour, I did something wrong, and I need to get back to that. So we're going to look at this a little bit today, and this is kind of a key scripture. I encourage you to, you know, think about this one every now and then. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 8 and 9, it says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me as prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he granted us in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus from all eternity. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the anointing here today to be able to, you know, penetrate the things in our life that is holding us back, the strongholds, the mindsets that we get into, that, Lord, we allow the enemy to try to mold us and press us into the shape he wants. But, Lord God, we know that you're the potter and we're the clay. Lord, help us to yield to you and your spirit. And, Lord, help us to be able to stand up and fight the good fight. And, Lord, I yield to the gift you put in me in Jesus' name, and I use it for your glory. Amen. Our main idea we're looking at today is God is working with you and not against you. God is working with you and not against you. Remember in week one, we looked at the idea that never forget the God factor. You know, we're not in this alone. God just didn't throw us out there. You know, when I was a little boy, my grandpa, he never did it because my mom wouldn't let him. But, you know, he said that the way you teach somebody to swim is you just throw them out in the creek. You'll learn or you won't. You know what I'm saying? But God's not like that. God just doesn't throw us out in the water. But God, you know, puts us in a place, in a position, so that we can learn. And that's what he wants to do. Last week, we looked at we need to be in it to win it. Meaning we ought to be sold out and just go after it with all our heart. I'll be honest, the most fun you're going to have in Christianity is when you go after it with all your heart. Every half-hearted endeavor I know I have been involved in usually has frustrated me because it never turns out the way that it should. And then, like I mentioned this week, God is working with you and not against you. The first point I want to look at today, when this talks about do not be ashamed, I think we need to be shameless. You know, that can mean two different things, but we're going to look at it from the positive, negative, positive flow here. We need to be shameless, not ashamed of the gospel. Now, I looked up this word, and some of the synonyms that talked about shameless was barefaced, brazen, outrageous, undisguised, unconcealed, transparent, and unembarrassed. You know, that's some pretty good words right there. I'd like to, if we could live up to three or four of them, we'd be doing good, wouldn't we? You know, and that, but see, the reason why we don't find God's plan or God's will for our life is sometimes we feel embarrassed. And what I found out that we need to fear God and not fear man. The fear of man is what's going to hold us back because we're so worried about what others think about. And if we're in the position in our life that we are a people pleaser, that we have to have recognition from people before we get good about ourselves, then you might as well go into politics. You know, because you know where you can change your message and do all these things and try to blend in. Because, you know, in the kingdom of God, there is one answer, and that's Jesus' way. You know, we just got to go that way. And it doesn't really matter what the world says. Because all the things are going to be tried by fire, and you know, the only thing that's going to stand is the things that were done right. Now, Paul was preaching or teaching this or sending this letter off to Timothy. Timothy was a protege, shall we say, and you've heard me tell the story before. You know, he was a young minister. He was in that church, and persecution was happening rampantly, and a lot of believers were falling away. I mean, it's just a very difficult situation. And the church and the people in the church, especially even Jesus Christ, he was in heaven, but, you know, they considered him the enemy of the state because Caesar was God. That meant you had to worship Caesar. And here's these believers living in these circumstances where they have to decide, can I bow my knee to Caesar? Or should I not bow my knee and only bow my knee to God? And they were faced with this. And a lot of them were making the wrong decision. So Timothy was getting a little frustrated. He was challenged in his life. And, you know, I don't know about you, but how many have somebody that they really admire? And maybe things weren't going that way. See, Paul was writing this letter from prison. And I'm sure a lot of the followers were wondering, why is he in jail? You know, if you think about it, they probably knew the story of Peter. You know, Peter got thrown in prison a couple times. But the last time he was thrown in there, an angel showed up and walked him right out. And here the church is on their knees is praying, God, 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 let Peter out, save Peter. Peter knocked on the door. And a servant girl answered the door, and it's Peter. She freaked out. She shut the door again, left Peter on the outside, went and told the people praying, hey, Peter's at the door. No, he's not. You know, we've been praying for it, but there ain't no way we're going to get that prayer answered. So they knew the story that Peter had been delivered from prison, but here Paul wasn't. You know, and you're just kind of wondering, you know, what's up with that? You know, why did God deliver Peter and God did not deliver Paul? And I'm sure it was a frustrating time. But Paul being in prison was one of the greatest things that happened to him. He had to write. He had to put things out of his mind and put them down on paper. And that's why he wrote the largest portion of the New Testament. All I can say with that is, you know, don't compare yourself to other people when you step out and you start following Jesus Christ. You know, you just stay where you're called to go. You know, just stay in your lane. You know, Paul's call was different than Peter's. Your call is different than the person sitting next to you. You just need to still answer the call. And don't get frustrated if it doesn't go the way that it does for everybody else. Just stay true to God and hang in there, and you're going to start to see what God can do in your life. You know, a lot of times people kind of go undercover then sometimes, you know, undercover Christians. You know, they try to hide the light a little bit. you know. And I know this did bother Paul. He's imprisoned. Don't be ashamed of me. You know, Paul accepted it. You know, so we need to make sure that we stay true, because I always remember that God is working with you and not against you. God is not our problem. Second point I want to look at in the passage, it talks about who has saved us and called us. Basically, God did it all, you know, in this passage right here. And then he saved us and called us with a holy calling, and that's kind of where we left off last week when we were looking in Philippians chapter 3 about the holy calling. Now, when we're called by God, we're not elected by our peers due to our popularity or our good looks, are we? No. Now, some churches do it that way. They elect people for certain things, and a lot of times it can turn into a popularity contest. I've watched it before. The most spiritual person usually don't get elected, you know, because they all go by what's the natural instead of the supernatural. You know, and that's why, you know, you got to be careful about that. But I want us to think about the idea that we are called by the Creator of the heavens and earth, the Creator of the universe, and He asks us to be a part of His plan. That should make us feel somewhat special. It should make us feel that, you know, God is wanting to do something through me. It brings humility to our life, but also it brings a feeling that, you know, God loves me and God cares for me. Now, some of you have favorite sports teams. I've kind of given up on that. You know, I don't want to invest a lot of my emotional energy in something that I know that a lot of times you got a 50-50 chance of winning, you know. But, you know, let's say you had a favorite sports team, and all of a sudden you got a phone call, and the owner of the team called you up and said, I want you to play for the team. You know, that'd be pretty amazing, wouldn't it? You know, here you love this team, and, you know, just amazed you that you've been called. You're so excited until it sunk in. I'm not good enough. I can't play for them. I can't play for that team. But see, with God, it's different. Yes, without God, we're not good enough. But the good news about God is God gives us the ability to play that game. See, it's something that God can do in our life. It's not natural, it's supernatural. And when we start to see that it's a holy calling, that God has called us to something better, something greater, and we need to be there and to be able to be a part of it, and then we're going to start to see God start to move, and then, you know, we don't know what the future holds, but I do know what the end is totally, is we're going to heaven. I mean, I don't know what tomorrow may bring. Now, I got my phone over there. I got the weather app. I kind of know how hot it's going to be or cold it's going to be. Hey, how many loved that south wind yesterday? Amen. You know, the wind was coming out of the south when I was out here at the church doing something. You know, it was like 9 degrees, but the wind was out of the south. It just made it that much better. But, you know, it was pretty freezing. But what we need to remember is there's two ways of looking at our plan. We have the macro and we have the micro. And we've kind of looked at this a long time ago, I think, a little bit. So the macro is the overall what it means to be a Christian. So before I think that you can really tap in totally to what your individual plan is that God has for you, is that we need to look to the place where we see, what is God calling Christians to do? What does it mean to be a Christian? What kind of stuff does Christians, you know, get involved in? You know, what kind of people are they? You know, and if we start to find that out a little bit, now I know it should be a no-brainer, but you'd be surprised how people have maybe misconceptions of what God's called a Christian to be. Because this passage here, if people read too much into it, they can miss the main part. And he's talking to the church, wanting the church to step up into the place of what the body of Christ, the church, is supposed to do. You know, it says, you know, that we're supposed to grow up, you know, heading towards maturity, meaning God doesn't want us to stay stupid, right? He doesn't want us to be uninformed, you know, and that means we need to, you know, get the assimilate the Word of God into our life and bring it in. That means we need to pay attention. You know, we need to take notes every now and then. and write that down, then maybe go over those things. That's how you get stuff down in your spirit. Because when the enemy comes, Lord have mercy, don't go by your memory all the time. How many would trust their memory? You know? I mean, I know the Holy Ghost is there and he can bring it to our remembrance. But I'll tell you what, I believe God can give you a nugget each and every time you come to church. You may not get the whole message, and maybe the whole message ain't as good as you want it to be, but I guarantee if you pay attention, you get one thing. You're going to be better off than when you walk through the door, when you walk out the door. And if you don't write those things down and meditate on them, I mean, I've forgotten some of the greatest things that God's ever told me because I thought I would remember it. And then maybe a day or two later, I start thinking about it again, and I don't have it the same. I can't get myself in the right train of thought. Next, we need to live a life that draws people to Christ. We need to be evangelistic. You know, we want people to follow Jesus. You know, and that, it's exciting to be a part of what the Creator's doing. I mean, just how special it is to be a part of God's plan, that God chose us out of the world and said, come in and be a part of what I'm doing. Follow me. You know, and when we follow him, we learn from the leader. Because we follow the leader, we do what he says. And to be an active part of Jesus' body, that's how we really find out. And we've discussed that a little bit a week ago or so. How when you start to be a part of things and you start to feel a part of things, then you start to grow in Christ and things start to really start to materialize in your life. And like I've always said, it's just still real. I can still remember the first day I started ushering. You know, and just how important and how special I felt because I was serving God. Somebody that I thought that God, you know, I didn't think God even cared about me. I never thought God was, you know, at least bit interested in my life. And then when I started to serve him and just help out in whatever way I could, I just felt like, man, God really cares. God, I feel him so much. It just made me keep coming back for more. It's been over 30 years, and I still keep coming back because I want more. I want more of God. I want more of his anointing. And the anointing of God is important that we learn about that, and we're not going to go into a lot of depth today, but it's that anointing. I'll tell you what, the anointing of God is so important to each and every believer, but unless you're doing something for God, you know, all it is this wasted goosebumps. And that's why we need to make sure that we learn how to utilize it and start to walk with him. After the macro, we got the micro, and that's what we're going to look in a little more, is our unique gifting to build the body of Christ. What is it that you're supposed to do? What brick are you on the wall? You know, the thing that God put inside of us to make the body of Christ better. And if people could just see how important they are to a local church, in putting their brick in the wall and making that wall stronger, amen, you would never take that brick away. Because each and every person is important to the church. Nobody is irrelevant. Nobody is insignificant. And God wants us to get that in our head. You know, maybe you're not ushering today or greeting or teaching or something, but you're still singing. You're still bringing the anointing down, that corporate anointing. Do you know when we have guests and we have people, you know, more people here, they feel like, yeah, something must be going on here. So just your sheer presence can be evangelistic and being able to reach people and make them feel comfortable. So it's important that we play our part and we do our role. And you can't really, you know, phone it in or mail it in. God wants participators, you know, in his church. Talking about sacred service, you know, it's a sacred calling. And to me, the word calling, if you look it up, it talks about a profession or vocation. Not vacation, right? Vocation. You know, I'll be honest, now that your real job in life is to serve God. You work outside the church at your secular job to support your ministry job. That's really what you're doing. But we got it all mixed up. We go out in the world and we think we can grow that kingdom. And then, you know, we wonder why we don't experience God in the way that we should. It's because we put all this other stuff first. But if we keep the mindset of a tent maker like Paul, Paul did whatever he could to support himself to fulfill his real ministry, which was built on the church of Jesus Christ. And see, if we could adopt that mindset, that's missional thinking. I'm not saying you can't have cars or houses or all that stuff, but let's put things in priority, amen? Right. You know, it's when our priorities messed up, it's when we get whacked out. When we chased after things that we can't afford, and then we got to work. You know, I know people have to work, I know construction guys back in the day, they'd have to work Sundays on side jobs because they couldn't afford the house they were living in because they bought too big a house. And then their families, they're not with their families. Just totally messed up, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm not saying you can't have to work a Sunday. I mean, I know some people do, and that's what the rotation is. But I'm saying when we intentionally do something to put ourselves in a position of failing, because that's what we're doing. Because life is short, and it's the decisions we make and the investment we make in our children that's going to carry the legacy on. And if your children don't see that it's important to be in church, why should we expect them to say that it's important to be in church? Amen? Or oh my? This has nothing to do with my message today, but we're off on a tangent, ain't we? Let's regroup. Regroup. Okay, so we're back to the sacred calling. Okay. We may get people to thank us for what we do, but I'm looking for the well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's what I'm looking for.
Amen.
You know, when I stand before Jesus and he says, well done.
Yes.
And he's not talking about steak, you know what I'm saying? You know, he's talking about what I've done with what he's given me. Because you've all been given something. All of us have been given something.
Yes.
It's what we do with it, you know. And the parable of the talents is going through my head right now, but we're not going to run that rabbit. But, you know, remember, God is working with us and not against us. Okay, lastly, I want to look at his purpose and grace. And that's what that passage talks about. And God saved us for a purpose. Now, to me, it's more than just going to heaven or getting on the rapture bus. You know what I'm saying? There's some people just wait to go to heaven. Now, some days I want to be there more than others. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I want to be there all the time. But there's some days, yeah, it would be easier to be in heaven. But I'm not there yet. I'm here now. So I got to do something with what I have here. You know, I just can't throw in the towel and give up. So we need to be, like I say, missional in our thinking, and we need to see ourselves as part of the solution. And do you see yourself as part of the solution? We know what the problem is. The problem is sin, separation from God. How do we fix that? Well, first we got to get fixed. But then what do we do with that? Do we care about other people? If you see somebody walking to the edge of a cliff that was blind, would you say, hey, stop? Or would you get your phone out and video it? I mean, we have a culture that would video stuff like that. And that's pathetic. But we need to be a people that sometimes we just say that no more. I'm going to be a part of the solution. I'm going to be a part of God's plan. I want to make a difference in the lives of others. Because if we do that, if we make that choice, then we start to see things start to change. One of the greatest experiences I know that I get in my life is not exactly totally what God has done in me, but what God has done through me. And when I see somebody else's life change, because God used me for that. That's what draws us and keeps us going. Lord, I want to see more. I want to see more people changed. I want to see more lives touched by your Spirit. I want to see you start to manifest, especially in our nation. I don't know about you, but getting drugged down a little bit. All the negative stuff constantly. I'll be honest, if you just kind of let that be in your mind, you'd think, man, it's over. There's no hope. But then I remember Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
That's what we need. We need Jesus to be moving in our culture. Now, mission on our thinking. Now, purpose gives that meaning we was talking about. So answering the call is just the starting point. When you finally pray that dangerous prayer, I don't know if you ever prayed that dangerous prayer. You know, I've prayed it. God, I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll feel so good when you say it. It doesn't feel so good when you do it. You know what I'm saying? Because God may take you up on that prayer. You know, and you may be helping people that really irritate the pudding out of you. You know what I'm saying? That's just the way it works sometimes. You know, God's looking for people that are going to step out from the crowd and to be able to be involved and say, and when we get excited about Jesus and we say, God, use me, use me, use me. Then he uses us and then people take advantage of us because they use us. And then we say, God, what's up with that? Well, God said you want to be used. People's going to take advantage of you. People's going to use you. All because, you know, but if we're doing it for the right motive, it doesn't matter. Love never fails. Am I helping them to get credit from God, or am I helping them because I love Jesus and I want to love them like Jesus would? See, that's part of that call. When we step out from the crowd and not be like everybody else, but we're going to be who God's called us to be and to make that difference that he wants. You know, and how you find that is, number one, you pray, because we need to get in his presence, because in his presence, that's how we start to find things out. And then it's participation. We need to get involved. You know, we need to step out. You know, that's when you get past that I'm waiting on God deal. You know, like I said, I'm okay to wait on God, but I'll tell you what, after 10 years, man, I don't know. I'd be about waited out by then. Just get involved. Participate. Get involved with other people. Help out here in the church. Get your picture back up on that board. Not everybody gets their picture up there. Got to be a part of the dream team. Amen? That's a place of honor. Amen? Now, I'm not saying you guys are second rate. That's not what I'm saying. Don't read into that. But I'm just saying we'd like to honor you by saying, yes, you're a part of this. Amen? That's what we need to do. You know, I love the old saying, God doesn't call the equipped, but he equips the called. Don't ever think you're not good enough. Don't ever think that, you know, you have no ability. Because that's a lie. It's a lie from Satan. And see, you'll never figure out the depth of it until you step out. Not until you step out. You know, teaching kids, you know, I was too shy to pray in front of people. So I started teaching little kids. And then that's how I learned to pray, because they didn't intimidate me. But I would never have prayed in front of an adult out loud, because I was afraid I'd say something stupid. But I hopped in at my comfort level. And then I got involved, and then, you know, God started to grow me up, and I started to pay attention. I started to write things down, and then I started to do things. And then I started to experience God in a deeper way, and he kept going and kept going and kept going. And it's still going to keep going until the day I die. So the power that God offers, where it talks about this, his grace, that's power for doing, not for watching. I just can't be as blunt. Hope I'm not too blunt today. But it's power for doing. You don't, you know, I enjoy the anointing when we worship. I dig it. You know, I get that, you know. I'll be honest, I'm more into worship than I am praise. Maybe it's because of my clapping issues I have. But I can sway with the best of them, man. It's just awesome. I'm just there with Jesus. But I tell you what, I feel the anointing there, but I tell you, it's when I get involved in doing something, whatever it is, helping people, you know, making a difference in somebody else's life, you know, praying with somebody, you know, encouraging them in the Lord, saying, yeah, you can make it. You know, that's what grace is for. And the Apostle Paul tapped into that grace, and we're not going to go into it today, but you know, he talked about it in 1 Corinthians 15 and how important it is. I think it's 15, but it talks about the grace of God, I am what I am. And he says that he had to labor in that grace, meaning he had to step out and he had to do something with it. And that's when you start to experience it. You know, I've watched many of you grow just right before my eyes. Boom. From the first day you snuck through those doors, just wondering if, you know, gosh, I hope nobody talks to me, you know. And when I say amen, you beat me to the door. I can't shake your hand, you know. But then now, you're standing up in front of people and you're doing things. And it's just so exhilarating for me to be able to see that, to see that growth. And I want to tell you, there's more. There's more in you than you know. I believe we just scratched the surface. And so this year, my goal is to release the beast. Amen? Not the beast, in a good way. But, you know, as his name went out of my head, the guy wrapped in cloth, Lazarus, just unwrap that cloth and just loose you on this community. Amen? So we can make a difference because, you know, God is working with us and not against us. And he's our coach. You know, we get better by practice. Simple as that. Just simple sports terms. I'm sorry, but sports terms are easy. But, you know, if you want to be better at something, you got to practice. If you have a tendency to let ground balls grow through your leg, you got to take a few more grounders, don't you? You got to get low. And you got to change something to get better. And so whatever it is, you know, I encourage you to step out and step up and be a part of the dream team and get into the game. Let's pray.